Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Well, we've had a great weekend. We have been involved over the weekend through the student ministry here at The Fountain in what we call a Disciple Now weekend. And it's basically a discipleship intensive for a weekend. We gathered to get here at the church on Friday night, and we went over to Woodstock for First Baptist and saw a fantastic concert with Seventh Time Down and Sidewalk Prophets and Newsboys, and it was a lot of fun. And we came back and we spent the weekend together here having a discipleship intensive on serving. And we served together, and we studied about serving together. And so today, you're going to get to have a glimpse into what we've been talking about over the weekend, because there's four sessions in the weekend. We've done the first three already, and today we're going to present to everyone the fourth session. So you guys get to get in. I'll fill you in on where we've been throughout the weekend before we begin. But isn't this a good group and a good-looking group of young people over here? We've had such a good time. Parents, thank you for entrusting us with your students. They're all really good kids. We've enjoyed learning with them and growing and learning from them as well over the weekend. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. So Project Serve was our study for the weekend. And the whole idea for the weekend was to move us from doing service projects and serving on occasional basis to the place where service is part of our life. It's part of the very fabric of who we are. It's part of our identity. And so we've studied about things like that. And what we started off with is, if we're going to talk about being a servant, first of all, we have to identify what a servant is, right? And so that was our first lesson that we started with on yesterday morning. I believe it was yesterday morning. It's kind of all running together at this point. But we started with, what is a servant? That was our first lesson. And we kind of talked about, for most people, how service is more of a cause than an effect for most people. And they do it because they have to, or because it's expected of them. Or we talked about with the students, because they have to have a certain number of service hours to graduate. Or because somebody else is doing it and I want to hang out with them, right? And we talked about how service and going and serving oftentimes is because of something else. But this weekend we wanted to flip that equation around, and we wanted to look at what it would look like for us if serving was the effect and Jesus in us was the cause. What causes us to be servants in this world is because we have Jesus in us and because of who He is. And it's part of our identity. It's part of the very fabric of who we are. And we just serve out of our very nature. We're not always kind of going, okay, well, I've got to do this and I've got to check my list off. But it just happens as part of who we are. And that was where we began. And Jesus is the most important cause of why we should lead a life of service. And we learned in Luke chapter 22, there's going to be some scriptures that's not up on the board today, up on the screen, but I just kind of want to gloss over what we've talked about throughout the weekend. In Luke chapter 22, and Brittany's already touched on this. She almost preached my sermon for me there just before her song, which was a great song. I want to do that again at the end. That'd be great. Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27, it says, "A dispute arose among them," talk about the disciples, "as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus says to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that.'" He's talking to His disciples. He's talking to you and me. We are not to be like that. "Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." So we began the weekend talking about what is a servant. Taking our cues from Jesus Himself, we figured out that servants are going to be humble. We don't serve to get attention. We're not waving flags and trying to get attention by our service and get people to look at me. Look how good I am. Look how many things I'm doing. It's about humbly serving, about being Jesus out of a humble spirit in people's lives. We also talked about how being a servant requires sacrifice. A servant is going to have to sacrifice. And again, we see the perfect example of this in Jesus Christ, where he sacrificed the glory of heaven to come here on earth to serve you and me, to teach us, to show us the way, and then ultimately to pay the price in the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for us. And then the third thing we looked at is what does it mean to be a servant is that servants do something. We don't just sing songs about service. We don't talk about service. We don't study lessons about service and read Bible verses about service and think how awesome it would be to serve. We actually do something about it. So if you're going to be a servant, you actually have to serve. So that was where we began. And then we moved on from there into our lesson two as to who do we serve. And we started looking at and trying to get a clearer picture of who God expects us to serve. And for many of us, it's pretty clear, and we think, well, the answer to that would be anyone, right? God wants to serve anyone or everyone. And he tells us in Scripture to serve others, right? But we had to identify, or we wanted to clarify a little bit about who that was. And we identified three different things three different groups of people that God wants us to serve. And first of all is the least of these. And in the Scripture, we see Jesus seeking out people who would have been the lowest and the least of the society and finding ways to serve them, whether it's providing for them in some physical manner or whether it was providing for them in a spiritual, relational, emotional manner. We see that as Jesus serves here on earth, the least of these. And the obvious one would be the lost. We're here to serve the lost. Jesus says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. He was here looking for those who were lost. He leaves the 99 to go find the one who was lost. So we learned that we have to serve those who were lost because it's real easy to serve church folks because we know that we're going to be comfortable with them, right? And that they're expecting some things and we're expecting some things and there's kind of a comfort level there. But sometimes when we get out of our comfort zone and start serving somebody who don't love Jesus, it becomes a bit uncomfortable. But that's what Jesus calls us to do. And to take that a step further, the third group of people that we identified that we should serve is our enemies. So wait a minute now. I'm cool with the whole least thing. I can see that, you know, the starving children in Africa and those kinds of, I can see that. I can see that we're supposed to be out there serving the lost. But my enemies, really? Yeah, really. That's what Jesus tells us to do. In Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 16, bless those who persecute you. This is Paul writing to the church at Rome. He's saying, bless those who persecute you. And we unpacked that a little bit this weekend. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Some instructions to disciples of Christ as to how we're to live our life. So who do we serve? We serve the least, we serve the lost, and we serve our enemies. And then yesterday evening, we looked at when do we serve? When do we serve? And the goal of that lesson was to expand the notion of serving beyond being something that's just a convenience or a duty or a comfort to something that's actually puts us out of our comfort zone, that we are identifying with Christ in the way that he served, that we are allowing the Spirit to guide us and to lead us into opportunities of service that are presented to us and opening our eyes to things that may be a little bit uncomfortable for us. So when do we serve? We serve when it's inconvenient. We talked about the passage in Luke where Jesus is teaching in the temple. In Luke chapter 13, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up. You see, Jesus is teaching, just like I am now, and just like some of your Sunday school teachers did earlier, and things like that, where he was teaching. He had a purpose, something he was doing, and he looked up and he saw someone in need. He identified an opportunity. There was an interruption to what he was doing, and how did he respond? It says that when he saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. We serve when it's inconvenient. It was inconvenient for him to serve at that time. In fact, it was actually forbidden for him. And you read on through the passage, and the religious people start getting on to him for doing work on the Sabbath day. And he has to correct them in that. But we serve people when it's inconvenient, not just when it's comfortable for us and we have it on our schedule. Another time we want to serve is when the need arises. When we're walking through life and we see an opportunity to serve, how do we respond to that? Do we say, well, you know, I can see that need, I identify that need over there, and I'll serve them when I get around to it. Do you guys have your round to it? You guys got your round to it? Show the church your round to it. I gave them round to it. It's a little token that says to it on it, and it's round. So I gave them round to it so they can never have the excuse of they'll serve when they get a round to it because they got one in their pocket. So they'll serve when the need arises, right? They'll serve when the need arises. Third thing we talked about was that we'll serve when God prompts us. You see, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And He knows in intimate detail the needs of everyone on this planet. And as we're moving through our life, whatever that might be, our family life, our work life, our church life, whatever it might be, friends, and we're moving through this world, He knows what's going on with everyone that's around us. He knows intimately what's going on with them. And as we're in tune with the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're walking along, and God prompts us to stop and to minister to someone, whether it be a physical need or emotional need or a spiritual need, we need to be sensitive to do that. And as we're living more and more out of Christ in us, we're able to identify those needs and meet them as they arise. So when do we serve? We serve when it's inconvenient. We serve when the need arises. If we're going to serve like Christ, we serve when God prompts us to. And when we do that, as we learned this weekend through some illustrations and things, when we do that, when we serve in that manner and at those times, we have an opportunity to be the conduit to bring a little bit of heaven here on earth in people's lives. And we saw through some illustrations and things how whenever we stop what we're doing and we take a moment to inconvenience ourselves and to sacrifice and to humble ourselves into someone's lives, how much of the kingdom of heaven can be brought here to earth through those opportunities. And that's what God wants to do through us. And we also learned a little bit about how that affects us and how when we do those things, not only does it bring the kingdom of heaven to them, but we get to experience the joy of Christ in our life as well through those opportunities. So that brings you up to speed. That was a recap for our students. That brings you up to speed from where we've been throughout the weekend. And now today I want to look at the last of our four lessons throughout the weekend. And I want to talk about how do you serve. The goal for this weekend was to expand our thinking in the students and now for everyone. The idea of service from being a simple daily task or an act of kindness to being something that's just a part of the fabric of who we are. Having a lifestyle of service. Having an attitude of being a servant in this world. Much like Christ did. When we become followers of Christ, we begin to take on His characteristics. Or we should, right? As we become, and that's what Christian means, like a little Christ. Christ-like. And if we're going to follow, and if we're going to be like Him, if we're going to be His disciples now, then we need to learn what that looks like in our life and how that comes out of us just as a product of who we are. When we become Christ followers, we take on His characteristics. Jesus didn't enter this world as a conquering military leader. You know, the Jewish people were looking for a king to come in like David that would set up a throne in Jerusalem and conquer the Romans and set up and establish himself. But He surprised everyone when He came as a humble servant. And you and I are to have that same attitude and that same lifestyle should be exhibited in our life. So if we're going to become more like Him, there are three areas where we need to be serving, how we need to serve. And this is, and we'll get into those in just a few minutes. And some of us, when we think about how we should serve, we start to take an inventory of our life. And we should. We should start taking an inventory of our gifts and our strengths, our skills, the things that God has given us that He expects us to use in people's lives, right? And many of us will start checking off the list, and you know, we had the opportunity to be blessed today by Mary on the stage with her violin. That was awesome. I love hearing some good violin worship. And she found a gift that she had, and she found an opportunity to serve and use that in the worship team and here to help us enter into the throne room of worship on Sunday morning. And all of us may have a list of things that we're good at, things that we're strong in, things that that encourage us, and things that excite us, and we like to do those things. And those are good, and we need to do those things, and how we serve needs to come out of those. God has given us those gifts in order for us to be able to serve others through those gifts in the world. But we also need to look beyond that and see some things that may be a little bit of a stretch for us. And God wants to grow you in those areas. God wants to move you out of your comfort zone into some new areas of service in your life. He may place someone in your life that has a need that you're thinking, how am I going to meet this need? And oftentimes, He's placed them there because He expects you to meet that need. And so we got to look and see, how do we serve in those areas? Most of us immediately think of obvious ways, physical acts of kindness, like mowing a lawn or digging a well or feeding the homeless, and all those are good and necessary, and that's where most of us go when we think about service. But God doesn't want us to limit ourselves to those areas. He wants to expand us. We won't even know sometimes how we've helped people whenever we help them. In just a few minutes, we're going to hear from a few of our students that experienced the weekend together, and you'll learn that sometimes when we serve one another, it's not in the obvious ways. Because some of the testimonies that you'll hear in just a few minutes, the way that they share these things, the students that ministered to them or the people that ministered to them are probably going to be surprised because they didn't know. But they were availing themselves to what God had done or was doing at the moment and wanted to get involved in what He was doing, wanted to serve, wanted to humble themselves in that area, wanted to be used by God. And in those cases, those less obvious ways sometimes are very impactful. So let's unpack this idea a little bit from the book of Colossians. We have Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Whatever you do. So how do we serve? We serve with an attitude that everything that we're doing is a service, not only to our fellow brothers and sisters, not only to the least, not only to the lost, but also to Jesus Christ Himself. So every time you seize an opportunity to be a servant to someone here on this planet, you're serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're able to show Him through your obedience, through your acts of kindness, what He really means to you and how much you're thankful for Him and for His sacrifice for us. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, this is in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, again, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, everything that you do in your life should be an act of service, an act of kindness, an act of love through the power of the Holy Spirit in you to serve those God has placed in your life. Whatever you do. You see, service goes beyond, way beyond random acts of kindness, which is kind of a catchphrase these days, right? Is hashtag random act of kindness. I paid for the person behind me in my, you know, when I bought my Jesus chicken at Chick-fil-A, right? We do that. We do that, and it's really easy to do that, and that's not a bad thing to do. But service in the way that Jesus Christ served you and me and the way that He expects us to serve others goes way beyond just random acts of kindness. He's given each of us unique gifts. He's blessed us in a special way so that we might use those gifts to bless others. Sometimes it's unintuitive. Sometimes we don't really think about that being an act of service, but it really is. God has blessed us with so much, and in turn, we use that to bless others. Have you ever been blessed? I use that in quotations. Have you ever been blessed by somebody for all the wrong reasons? You ever know that? It's like you know by their attitude of the way that they're doing that for you that they're not really doing it because they love you. They're not really doing it for the right motives. And you kind of look at them and you think, you know, why are you doing this? Because it's important how we do things, how we say things. The attitude in which we serve others is important. So how should we serve? We should serve out of a humble attitude to others. Out of a sense of humility, out of a sense of that we're doing everything in our life to bring glory to Jesus Christ, to bring glory to God, because that's how we should serve. I know sometimes our kids will do things and you think, oh man, isn't that cool? And then you find out later on that they really wanted something from you, right? And you're thinking, oh, okay, now we see. You know, we don't want to be that person. We don't want to serve in that way. We want to serve because it's about our heart being so in tune with Jesus that we want to be Jesus in somebody's world. Opportunities to serve others will come in some surprising and unexpected places. And Paul encourages us to, whatever you're doing, do it with an attitude of service. We should expand our definition of service to include things like prayer. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. About meeting people's, not only their physical needs, but also their emotional and relational needs. And also one of the most important things that we can do to serve others is to introduce them to Jesus himself. The very act of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is an act of service to others. So how do we serve? Number one, we serve in prayer. Prayer gets a bad rap in the world of service because sometimes we think it's lax. We think we're being lazy when we just say we'll pray for that. Or we think that, hey, that's not doing enough. Prayer is great, but we need to serve. We need to go in there and do something. And that's true. But service needs to begin with prayer. Our attitude, our spirit needs to be in the right place. And some people use prayer, though, as an excuse to get out of really doing something, right? Oh, we'll pray for you, right? Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, my house burned down. Or we don't have any clothes, you know. My kids need a way to get to school. Oh, brother, that's awful. I'll pray for you. And really what they need you to do is go to your closet and get some of that extra stuff and bring to them, right? Tell them you're going to pick up their kids in the morning. So prayer is not an excuse for not doing, but prayer needs to be the beginning of where things happen. The Bible says prayer is powerful and effective in people's lives. Who better to help those in need than our Almighty God, right? Than our all-powerful Heavenly Father. And when we pray to Him and we ask Him to give us strength, to give us wisdom in an area, or to provide in His way for those people, we begin that act of service for them. In 2011, there was a police-involved shooting in the town of Woburn, Massachusetts. And there were three suspects who were at large in the area. And in our day and age of social media, Twitter became a vital part of this manhunt. It became a refuge for people who were scared for their lives. News outlets, community leaders, and residents tweeted on useful information when somebody had seen something or what the status of things were or what was going on. And it began to be like a grassroots kind of social media effort to find these dangerous people that were in the area. And one pastor used this situation, one pastor in that area, as an opportunity to tweet out prayers to the community and to his local congregation. He said things like, "We pray for the safety of hashtag Woburn residents and the police. We pray that this manhunt comes to a just and peaceful conclusion. We pray for those who weep and watch and work this night. Lord, have mercy." He was tweeting. Now, he's not in law enforcement. He wasn't going to go out and, you know, go door to door trying to sweep the community to search for this person. But he found an opportunity to serve through prayer. And he finds out later, you know, he feels like that I'm really not doing much. I'm just kind of, you know, staying connected with my congregation. What he finds out later was these things were retweeted and retweeted. And it began a trend in the area where people were joining together and praying for one another. And they were serving one another through prayer. Those short prayers that he sent out reminded residents that God was with them. It gave them some measure of peace and comfort until the situation was taken care of, until it came to a resolution. Because everything else was out of their control and they understood that Christ was in control, that God was in control. Prayer is not an excuse to be lazy. We're not supposed to just pray. We're supposed to go out and serve others. It says, "Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." In other words, God tells us to serve others by praying for them, but it doesn't stop there. Prayer is a way of recognizing God's part in all of this and how He is going to empower us and how He is going to provide for us in those areas. And it brings up the word intercessory prayer. We use that a lot of times, intercessory prayers, when we are praying on behalf of someone else. And when we do that, we just talk to God like He's just right there with us. Students, sometimes we get a little weird about praying. And oftentimes whenever we ask for prayer in situations, whether it be small group or large group or things like that, you get a little uncomfortable and uneasy. But yet it's okay. You're just fine talking to your friend, or you're just fine talking to me. And we need to understand that God wants us to talk to Him, students, just like we talk to one another. He wants us to, in reverence and in honor, obviously, and in understanding of who He is and His position. But we don't have to use King James when we pray. We can pray just like we talk to our friends. And that's what He wants, because that's a relationship with Him. And that is the beginning of service. And here's a cool thing. Whenever you're praying for someone, whenever that's going to be your act of service for them, do it now. When that need arises, my friend Gerald Aldridge was a very good example of this. I can remember oftentimes seeing Gerald, whether it was at the racetrack or at a restaurant or on the street somewhere or whatever. And he was talking to someone, always looking for ministry opportunities. Gerald, with his kind eyes, would stand there and listen to the situation, whatever it was. He always had a hat on to cover up his bald head with all the bumps and bruises he had from banging it on things. And he would listen to what they had to say, and he would take his hat off and he'd put his hand on his shoulder and say, "Let me pray with you right now." And oftentimes it would take people aback. They'd be like, "Whoa, right, you mean like now?" He's like, "Yeah." I mean, they're in the bustle, hustle of whatever they're doing, and he would stand there with his head bowed in the middle of everybody, just calling out this person's need to Jesus. And that's what we need to do. That's an act of service. And I'm trying to model that in my life. When someone brings me an opportunity to pray, I don't want to say, "I'll pray for that, brother." I want to pray for it right then. I don't know how many times lately I've prayed on the phone with people driving down the road. I'm like, "I promise I'm not closing my eyes, but I'm going to pray for you, okay?" You know, I'm praying on the phone with them because the need arose and I want to pray right then so we can serve people through prayer. The second way we want to serve people is through physical as well as relational and emotional needs. You see, people are complicated. We have lots of needs. They aren't just our physical needs. We don't just need water and food and somebody to rake our yard. Sometimes we just need an ear, somebody to listen to. Sometimes we just need a friend, right? Sometimes we just need a friend. And the physical part is real easy for us guys, right? Man, you get a group of men together and you got a project, whether it's to build something or clean something or fix something. You know, we want to fix something, right? If there's a problem, we want to fix it. And we get together and we bring our tools and we macho up and we go fix it. And sometimes that's a good thing. That's what's needed. But sometimes we just need to listen. All right, ladies? So here's a good example. What'd you say? Here's a good example of what that looks like. Maybe. There we go.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
No, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? We can work it out. We can...
Guys and girls, you can relate with that, can't you? If you just let me... Nope. Just want to share. Just want to share. Just want you to listen. Let me fix it. But people have physical needs that need to be met. They also have emotional and relational needs that need to be met. And we're called to meet all of those needs. God created us in a community. That's why we have a church. That's why we have a church family. Because we're together to meet one another's needs, not just their physical needs, which this church does a wonderful job of reaching out to one another and meeting people's needs when the need arises. But we also have physical and emotional needs. And some of those can be met very, very well. And we have a very effective way of doing that, and that is our life groups. If you're not a part of a life group, you need to be a part of a life group. Because that's where a lot of those emotional, relational needs are going to be met. Because we weren't created to be lone rangers. God created us in community, and we're supposed to share with one another. And we're supposed to be there for one another. Guys, it's okay to fix the nail sometimes. Ladies, it's okay just to listen sometimes. But working together, we can fix a lot of different problems, and we can serve the Lord more effectively when we work together in those areas. We can't ignore the emotional and relational needs that people have by just meeting their physical needs, but we've got to be complete. We've got to meet all kinds of needs. And sometimes those needs, we may be meeting those needs in others, and we don't even really realize it. I've got a couple of gentlemen that have come up. Y'all come on up if I've talked to you already. And sometimes those needs that we meet, we don't even really realize what we're doing. And we find ourselves, or maybe someone comes up and says, hey, you remember when you did such and such, or when you said so and so? That really touched me. And we think, really? I don't even remember saying that, much less you really doing that for you. But when we allow Jesus to be Lord in our lives, when we allow Him to guide our steps and our actions, sometimes things happen and we don't even really realize it in our lives. And we touch other people and we're serving other people without even really realizing it. I got a couple of gentlemen up here. I got one more than I expected, but that's okay. Who are going to share a little bit about what they experienced over the weekend. I wanted you guys to see your students and see that they're doing well, that they're loving the Lord, they're growing together. And I wanted for you to be able to hear from them about what they experienced over the weekend. And some of them have some really powerful testimonies of how God has moved in their life in ways that they may not even really realize it. So I wanted to have them have a chance to share with you this weekend. We're going to start with Gage down here.
Hi.
Is that on? Okay.
A lot of you don't know me because I'm fairly new here. My name is Gage Schwartz. I'm 17 years old, and originally I wasn't supposed to take part in this weekend because I get nervous about, especially the concert, a lot of people. I get nervous around that in situations like that, and even just standing up here is nervous for me. So it or is nerve-wracking for me. But this weekend, without everybody here who through this weekend, I'm not sure I would be able to be here today because I would have created an excuse as to why I couldn't continue the weekend. And so I just want to say, first of all, thank you to everybody, all my friends, my new friends in the youth group and up here as well, and Pastor Aaron, because, they encouraged me to keep going. But I want to give a special thanks to a new friend of mine that, especially on Friday when we went to the concert, made sure that I was always, okay. I was taken care of. I was, well. And he's standing right next to me. It's my friend Izzy. And I don't know whether he knew what he was doing, because what he was doing was, to a lot of people, would be, not kind of simple. He was being very friendly to me, and again, so was Miss Luke up here and all of my friends. But Izzy on Friday, he stood by my side and he made sure that I was comfortable and that I had a fun time, and I most definitely did. And so I want to thank God and Jesus for acting through my friend Izzy, and helping me, go through the weekend and make it through. So thank you. Thank you.
I love you, man. What Gage is not sharing with you is that he has severe anxiety issues. So he is a whole new person today. There is no way last Wednesday when we saw the boy that was up on stage playing guitar on last Wednesday, if you would have asked me if you'd be standing here on stage on Sunday morning speaking to a whole bunch of strangers, there would have been no way. So God used this in this weekend in his life.
I'm going to cry now. Thanks. Okay. I'm Izzy, and I'm here, and I'm going to talk about how God worked through me. So a while ago, I was at a mall, or I was having a really bad week or month or whatever. And I was not in a good position, and, you know, I was going down the wrong path and everything like that. And I was like, is everything even worth it? And I was invited to the mall with my friends. I was like, oh, okay, I'll go. And I was hanging out with my friend, and we were with his mom and his sister, his younger sister. And I was, she kind of saw how I was feeling and how I was down. And she came up to me. And this bag I carry it every day. It has my key essentials, like my Bible and everything like that. But, here, I'm trying to hold this.
Luke, hold up.
She came up to me and, or she came up behind me and started putting, messing with my bag. I was like, what are you doing? Then I grabbed my bag and this little animal on here, this little penguin was on here. And it may not look much to me, but, or to anyone, but when I saw it, I almost started crying because this small gesture helped me through my worst time and it uplifted me and I wanted to help and serve God. And I started, you know, I said, thank you more than a normal human should say. Like, I kept going up to her and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I even called her mom and their mom and said, hey, can you go tell her? And I said, thank you again. Because this little penguin, I mean, it really, I look at it and it makes me know that I'm not alone in this world and that I can count on God and my friends. And its birthday is on October 25th, so we're going to be celebrating its birthday. So, and now to my boy Luke.
All right, it's my turn. Okay, I'm Luke Haynes. Been a part of this church for a better part of 8 years. If you probably know me most from my grandparents, Denise and Harvey Langebeer. I've been in the youth group for about 3 years. So this weekend really affected me. I have always gone on Wednesdays and been in the small groups with everybody, and I've answered the questions and I've answered them honestly, and, you know, I haven't been fake about anything, but I wasn't speaking as much as I really needed to. So this weekend, when we would go to our small groups, which we did three of those, I would always, I decided to speak up, and that was because of Izzy. Izzy, this, you know, Izzy was saying, you know, started saying things, and he opened the whole, our whole small group up, which was amazing, because I was able to express myself. Yeah, I can say a lot of ums, and yeah. It's good we don't prepare anything. So yes, that was great. So not only did this, okay. Discipleship Now Weekend is about service. Not only did we get a lot of service from everybody, which I'll mention them in a second, I learned that I am able to listen and talk to people, that I need to speak up and serve the Lord by speaking up, and my way of serving people is listening. So if anybody, you know, I don't know how to say it. Like, if anybody talks to, I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I'm good at listening. Yep. That is my service. So what I'm, okay, so like basically, you know, you need to talk to me, I'm listening. So, yeah, I mean, I really didn't prepare anything. I thought I had it, but, you know, this is what you get when you're nervous. So, anybody can do service. It's very easy, and I would just like to thank all the host homes for dealing with all of us. That is the Tapias, the Summers, the Duns, and the Codys. The Tapias especially had to deal with teenage boys, which were us. Yeah, Grayson, I'm sorry about that Uno game. I know that was pretty intense. Miss Tapia went to bed, and we were still very loud, so that was fun. And I have to give credits to Mr. Summers, too, because he had to deal with the middle school boys, and I'm sure that's not fun. But to be fair, I think Mr. Ray had a lot of beans that night from speaking from his story. So I'm, also, the co-hosts, which are the Costellos and the Steinhausers, something. Yeah, they were the co-hosts. The McGuire Men's Life Group, they helped with the service project. Those were really awesome. The McClure Life Groups did lunch, and the Crawford Life Groups did dinner. So that, thank you, all of you. Thank you for serving us. I would like to thank the band that played for us and the first band, which I don't know who those. Pretty sure one of their names was Lindsay. I don't know. So
or Trina.
Something like that. So thank you for letting me speak. Thank you for listening to that. That was awful, but here you go, Nate. Beat that.
Okay. Hi. My name is Nate. I am in eighth grade, and it's my turn to speak now. My voice just cracked. My voice is a little bit hoarse because I have been hanging out with middle school guys the whole weekend, which now I'm going to be going to have to go home and clean up a ton. Yeah.
They were at his house.
So this weekend was just absolutely amazing. We got to hang out with other people, and everyone just really opened up this weekend, which is really good. And where I was really touched this weekend was when we went to our service projects. So where I did my service projects, I went with probably, I think, five other guys. And the lady that we went to help was our neighbor at my house. They live right next to our house pretty much. And her mom just got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she's not expected to live throughout the year. But her and her husband were just moving in to next to their daughter and her husband. And right when they started to build the house next to their daughter's and son-in-law's house, she got diagnosed. And it was really hard on them the house was just going to be absolutely beautiful and stuff. And now the new goal for them is to finish the house before God takes her away. So it was really just amazing for me to help and stuff. We had to move stones for them. And when my dad said that they were trying to finish the house so she can see it before she passes, it just really struck my heart. So I would like to ask all of you to, we can work out the date and all that, but how would you guys like to help finish the house? How would you like that, church? I would really like to do this. I can talk to Pastor McGuire. I don't know. Work out a date, but we can get you guys there. And I would just really like to finish this house for them. And that's all I gotta say.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Y'all have a seat. I wanted you guys to hear just a little bit about what they experienced this weekend, because it's because of the service of this church that you're serving these students. There were so many people that were involved, from our adult leaders that gave up their weekend to be here, from the life groups that sacrificed time on their Saturdays to come up here and help with different areas, to those who opened their homes. Those were all acts and areas of service, and we served these students, and I want you to see some of the results of your work. And then finally, the last thing that we want to do, how we serve others, is by serving, by sharing the good news of Jesus. By sharing the gospel with others, we're actually meeting their real needs. Oftentimes when we go and we move rocks at somebody's house, or we feed them on from our food pantry here, we're meeting a felt need. A need that they think that they have, but genuinely deep down inside, the real need that they have is for their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so as we serve others, how do we serve? We serve through sharing the gospel with them. We can serve through praying. We can serve through meeting their felt needs. But most importantly, we need to serve them through sharing the gospel with them. So when it comes to serving others, we need to follow as Jesus followed, as Jesus led us. And he tells us that if we're going to serve, we need to serve out of a certain attitude. And the attitude that we wanted to instill in your students over this weekend, and the attitude that we all need to have, is the mindset of Jesus like he has, and like we hear in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, when it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Our goal through this weekend, students, has always been to move you from a mindset of doing a service project to having the mindset of Christ, of being a humble servant in all that you do. And I pray for you and I pray for our church that God does that in all of us, that we might all have a heart and a mindset of being a servant. So I want you to think about this for a moment as our band comes forward. Think about this for a moment. Which of the ways of serving is easiest for you to do? Is it praying? Is it meeting physical, emotional, relational needs? Or is it leading someone to Christ? Why is that? Why is it that you've been gifted and you have a bent in that direction? It's that way because that's the way that God has made you. And he's made you that way specifically, and he put us all together as a big mixture, hodgepodge, red, yellow, black, and white, all kinds of different colors and creeds and traditions and giftings so that we together can be the church of Jesus Christ here on this earth. He's given us all gifts, and he's put us into a diverse community so that we can use those gifts to reach the world for Jesus. That is what it means to be a servant for Christ. Students, as Disciple Now comes to an end, I hope that you have a better understanding of the biblical concept of being a servant and not just going out and doing service projects, having a servant's heart and not just doing the occasional service project, but looking for opportunities as you move slowly through the crowd to reach and to teach and to serve and to be Jesus in this world. The Fountain. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to have a peek into what we did over this weekend, and I want to encourage you. We have multiple opportunities for you to serve here in our church. The church is a volunteer organization. There are very few people who are on paid staff, and those of us who are, our job really is to equip you to do the work. To equip you to do the work. Just like we had over this weekend, several different volunteer groups coming in and serving. So I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, I want to ask you to get involved. There's several different areas that we can do this. I'm going to ask real quick for all of our ministry heads to stand up. All the ministry heads. We have Yolanda Simmons, who's in charge of our greeter ministry, and she's back there in the back. She does all the welcoming, coffee, all that kind of stuff we love out in the lobby. She would love to hear from you. We have Derek over here, who is representing our children's ministry. His wife, Robin, is our children's pastor. There are several opportunities within the children's ministry to get involved and to serve. We've got George and Lee, who lead our Family Promise ministry. And they would love to hear from you. Next time we have another weekend will be next year, but there's plenty of opportunity. I'm hearing from them that they have about half of the people that they really need to make that week work efficiently and well. So another opportunity to serve. We got Mary back there. Her and Carol run our food pantry ministry. I believe today is a day that they can get together and help you pack, right? Today, and they're going to serve tomorrow. So there's awful lot of opportunities here. Grounds maintenance. There's lots of things around a building like this that needs to be done. See Pastor Mike about how you can get involved. Guys of us who like to pull the nail out, you know, here's an opportunity. Come fix a problem. And then student ministry. Our wonderful, awesome young people over here, the student ministry here at the Fountain, there's opportunities there to serve as well. So come, find ways to get involved. Thank you guys. We love you. Let's stand together. The communion tables are open as we continue to worship with this last song about serving the Lord. I want to encourage you to remember that the reason we serve is because of Jesus. And he served us as a humble servant, sacrificing for us all the way to the cross. And that's what we remember and what we celebrate as we receive communion. God bless you. May you have a great week.